This podcast contains explicit content. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Creepy Cannabis Podcast, where we chat all things.
We do chat all things.
All things creepy, cannabis, true crime, paranormal, and weird. I'm Madeline.
I'm Rachel. As usual.
That was weird.
We're doing great. As usual. The thing is, you look great today, so it's okay if your words are not.
I tried to get ready, and then I realized I had to walk the dog, and it was raining, and by the time I already went out and didn't have a raincoat, I was like, fuck it.
So is your hair just cute like that from the rain? Get the fuck out of my house. Just leave.
I tried.
Meanwhile, I'm wearing the same hoodie for 3 days. I think I washed my hair this week.
That's fine.
I mean, I've showered, but like the hair went into a bun.
Yeah.
Yesterday I had my goddaughter, and if you have small toddlers, you just know. Yeah. You're taking care of them. You're not taking care of you.
No.
They'll be walking around pristine, hair did, teeth brushed 18 times, looking adorable. You're coming behind like the fucking haggard lesbian lover of your daughter.
Yes.
Disgusting. I'm out here looking like I just can't. That was rude to lesbians. Y'all have great style. I'm just jealous that I'm in a fucking heterosexual relationship with a white man.
Aren't we all?
You're not even.
Yeah, he's Colombian. You're but still, nonetheless.
But you know what? But Maddie's, she's had her fair share of them, and she knows the pain is real.
It is. It's it really real. Is.
I love my particular white man. He'll stay.
No need to replace him.
I'm going to carry on. Look, it's Maddie's episode, so I partook it.
Yeah.
Okay, and here we are. And I forgot to take my Abilify this morning. So until after this episode, I'll just be a disaster.
Yeah. But until then.
Yeah. Which we... What do we...
We persist.
I can't talk. What are you smoking?
So, smell this. The strain today is called Under the Stars.
Oh, she stinks.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell them what it smells like.
Mm-hmm.
It smells like puppy breath. Like dirty foul. Smell that again and tell me that's not dirty puppy breath. Not like all the way. It's weed. It's like if your puppy lick, don't let your puppy lick weed, but if they did.
Yeah, it's really diesely and spicy.
It is. I'm just going to say I got puppy breath.
Okay, interesting. Interesting take.
It's a perspective.
It's a hybrid cross between Cushman's F1 Derb and Gushers S1.
Gushers. Oh, do you remember Gushers?
Yeah, they're so good. This one is like 24% THC, nothing too crazy. Pretty low terp profile, but the highest is limonene, so more energizing, uplifting. Not going to be a strain that knocks you too hard on your ass. Good for daytime, not too like intense. Some sativas can really trigger people's anxiety. Because of the high levels of pinene and stuff like that. So this is a nice balanced hybrid. Good for anxiety, insomnia, helping to ease your mind, relaxation, stuff like that.
Not me over here reading the pinene on mine, being like, please don't be high. Because the bitch can't handle my anxiety right
please
now.
Please don't be high.
It's only 0.02%.
Oh, so yeah.
I think I'm safe from additional anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not smoking the same strain today because, I'm not, so here we are.
Well, I'm not.
Well, I'm simply not. That's not what I have on deck. What are we talking about today?
So, this week we are going to be talking about the People's Temple, or as people more fondly know and refer to it, Jonestown.
Not Jonestown.
Which was a religious cult, also called People's Temple of the Disciples of Christ.
That is a mouthful.
Or People's Temple Full Gospel Church, or just the people's temple.
I feel like that means if I had a church, it would have to be like the people's temple, tabernacle of the Lord and his disciples, all 12. Then I would name them. You'd have to recite it all before I'd let you in the building.
Yeah.
No one would like be a part secret of password. My church cult.
And it was an American new religious organization that existed between 1954 and 1978. And obviously was affiliated with the Christian church.
What a shock. Also, my Boston Terrier is joining us. He's geriatric. He's snoring. Just let him live.
I can't even hear him.
If you hear the occasional snort or fart, just know.
It's him.
It likely wasn't us.
Or it could be. Who knows? So, the People's Temple was founded by Jim Jones, originally in Indianapolis, Indiana, which is pretty crazy because I thought that it started in San Francisco in California, but I guess they initially started in Indiana.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, that's
but I'm not random. Surprised because what else the fuck is there to do in Indiana except for not name really long churches.
Yeah. So their message combined elements of Christianity with communist and socialist ideology with an emphasis on racial equality.
I mean, sounds great. That.
Sounds great.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
After Indianapolis, as the group kind of probably started getting bigger, they moved to California in the 1960s and established several locations throughout the state, including its headquarters in San Francisco. The People's Temple forged ties with many left-wing political figures and claimed to have 20,000 members, although it was probably like a lot less, probably like 500, 600. Let's be honest.
I know for a fact there's no way it's 20,000 deep already.
Hell no. And obviously, everyone kind of knows about Jonestown because of the events that happened in Guyana, which is where they moved after California. When 900, I guess, well, there was at least 909 people died in a mass suicide and a mass murder at its remote settlement, which they called Jonestown because of Jim Jones, the leader.
I have to admit something about geography that made me really ashamed. I really believed in my heart that Jonestown was in South Africa, and I think that's because isn't there like a Jamestown, South Africa, or Africa? I don't know.
There's Johannesburg.
I believed it was in South Africa, and it is in fact in South America.
It is.
And I just want you guys to know that.
Thank you.
That sometimes I'm dumb. But I did, in fact, Google it, and I know it now to be 100% factually in South America.
And now we're on track.
Perfect.
So, not only did 909 cult members die, there was a trip planned. So, U.S. Congressman Leo Ryan and members of his visiting delegation were actually visiting Jonestown and doing a report, when they were pretty much shot down on the airstrip. And it was known as the greatest single loss of American civilian life prior to September 11th, 2001.
That's wild.
Which is pretty crazy. Before he founded the church, Jim Jones had become very involved with communism, and he was frustrated by the harassment which communists were being subjected to in the United States during the Red Scare.
Oh no, not those communists.
He made a biographical recording where he stated, "I decided, how can I demonstrate my Marxism? The thought was, infiltrate the church, so I consciously made a decision to look into that prospect."
So he's not dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I feel like most cult and religious leaders are very charismatic and intelligent.
They have to be. Have to be. And although he feared he would end up being the victim of backlash for being a communist, he was surprised when a Methodist superintendent helped him enter the church, despite his knowledge that Jones was a communist. And in 1952, he became a student pastor in Somerset South Side Methodist Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. But he left the church because it barred him from integrating African Americans into his congregation.
And that's the part where I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you right think you it's all going great. People,
but I mean, I know.
It's all good.
This is an old story, so we all know where it's headed. But I'm so disappointed because it sounds so great. I'm like, yes,
it was
you're for the people.
Somewhat of a utopian goal.
Yeah. At least his intention. at this
his message.
Yes, thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
I don't
think
his intention was ever anything other than control.
The moolah.
Mm-hmm. And money. Yeah. So he observed a faith healing service at the Seventh-day Baptist Church, which led him to conclude that these healings could attract people and generate income, which he could use to accomplish his social goals.
I see. There it is.
Jones and the temple's members knowingly faked healings because they found that the healings increased people's faith and generated financial resources, which they could use to help the poor and finance the church.
I see.
The healings involved use of chicken livers and other animal tissue, which they claimed were cancerous tissues that had been removed from the bodies of people who had been healed. Okay.
I just need to take a moment of silence to myself while you carry on.
In 1955, the year of his mother's birth, he bought his first church building located in a racially mixed Indianapolis neighborhood, which he named his church Wings of Deliverance. Okay. And later that year, he renamed it the People's Temple Full Gospel Church.
I don't like the word deliverance in any circumstance.
Concerning.
Yeah. It could be that movie, but...
This was the first time that he used the phrase People's Temple, and his healings and clairvoyant revelations attracted a lot of spiritualists, naturally.
Oh, yeah.
In 1956, he was ordained as an IAOG minister by Joseph Matson Bose.
Jesus. I don't even know what that means, but it sounds very official.
A leader in the Latter Rain movement.
Oh.
What is that?
It's like a religious movement. So everyone knows I went to Baptist school, but we took a couple of theology courses in which reviewed various religious cults, organizations, other religions in general, and that name came up a time or two.
Interesting.
I don't remember much about it, but I do remember hearing it.
So he would work with these organizations and host healing conventions to take place from, or a healing convention, from June 11th to June 15th, 1956, in Indianapolis's Cattle Tabernacle.
I told you tabernacle. I grew up in the church of the Lord.
Needing a well-known figure to draw crowds, he arranged to share the pulpit again with Reverend Branham, who was well known to tell people their name, address, where they came from for the prayer before pronouncing them healed. Jones was intrigued by his methods and began performing the same feats, and their meetings were very successful. They attracted over 11,000 people at the first campaign. And at the convention, Branham issued a prophetic endorsement of Jones and his ministry, saying that God used the convention to send forth a great new ministry.
Have you ever been to a church revival?
Mm-mm.
Okay. For those of you who have never experienced such a thing, it is fucking wild. So I know in the Baptist culture it is extremely popular, and they will have tens of thousands of people converge in one spot to praise the Holy Lord. And when I tell you, these people are singing Bible hymns so loud that you can feel it reverberating through your body. God. And I've been to some. And do you know that the first one I ever went to outside of my church, do you know where it was? Indianapolis, Indiana.
Interesting.
Swear to God, my mom sent me there when I was literally 18 years old, a legal adult, for my birthday. She sent me to Golden State Baptist College for a revival.
Golden State.
Yep. You can look that shit up.
I believe that.
It was B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I just want you guys to know that I came from a very unique and difficult, and sometimes I now think culty background.
It's a fine line that they all walk.
Yes. When someone invites you to a revival, I just want you to think back to this, and I want you to really do your research.
Consider if it's the best option for you this weekend.
Maybe get some noise-canceling something for your ears.
Something.
Carrying on.
Many attendees believe Jones's performance indicated that he possessed a supernatural gift, and coupled with Branham's endorsement, it led to rapid growth of the People's Temple. Jones was particularly effective at recruitment among the African-American attendees at the conventions, and regular attendance at the People's Temple swelled to about $1,000 thanks to the publicity that Branham provided them.
So this is where he's taking something that's supposed to be a good message and now using it for his capital gain. So yes. Now these people are coming in feeling that they finally have a place to belong. Yes. And he's like,
interesting.
How can I use this to my advantage? How can I
benefit from this?
I see.
After this convention, he renamed the church the People's Temple Christian Church Full Gospel.
Christ! Why can't he just be like Calvary? Like the rest of us.
Like, there's a reason they shorten it to People's Temple.
Like St. Jude's or some shit.
That way he could associate it with Full Gospel Pentecostalism.
Oh, whoop, there it is. Okay.
The name was later shortened to People's Temple, of course. And he participated in a series of multi-state revival campaigns with Branham and Mattson Bowes in the second half of the 1950s, making multiple joint appearances with them.
I swear my mom probably went to one. It's the fact that I said revivals and then 2 seconds later you were like, yeah, they have revivals. Mm-hmm. I fucking knew. Mm-hmm. I knew.
Then they hosted a second international Pentecostal convention in 1957, which was again headlined by Branham, though the conventions through the conventions and with the support of Branham and Mattson Bowes, Jones secured connections throughout the Latter Rain movement.
They're just out there getting it done. You know what I mean? Hate the player, not the game.
Yes, so. So he continued on in this manner, growing and expanding the church's reach in Indianapolis. And again, when they moved to the state of California and San Francisco, a lot happened in between. But it was a lot of lies, a lot of manipulation.
Yes. That was the time where I remember, like, that's what I remember hearing stories about it and for my mom and stuff. I mean, I'm an old geezer, so at the ripe age of 35.
Like all good lies and schemes, eventually they obviously, well, not all, but many of them do come to an end at some point.
Be correct.
For the People's Temple, that end began in 1972. The San Francisco Examiner and the Indianapolis Star ran the first four parts of a 7-part story on the temple, its first public expose, basically, and they reported on several aspects of the church's dealings, its claims of healing, and Jones' ritual of throwing Bibles down in the church, yelling, "This black book has held down you people for 2,000 years. It has no power."
Sometimes I wonder how he gets from point A to Z.
I'm concerned. The members picketed the Examiner, harassed the paper's editor, and threatened both the Examiner and the Star with libel suits. Both papers canceled the series after the fourth installment. Shortly thereafter, Jones made grants to newspapers in California with the stated goal of supporting the First Amendment. Following this media scrutiny in 1973, 8 young members, known as the Gang of Eight, basically defected together. Because the Gang of Eight were aware of threats to potential defectors, they suspected Jones would send a search party to look for them. Their fears obviously proved correct. He employed multiple search parties, including one which scanned highways from a rented airplane.
What the fuck?
They had money.
That's something I never understand is, like, if people want to leave your group, I guess for the protection of your group, but, like, to this extent is ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
You've already been investigated. Like, the cats are already starting to come out of the bag. Leave these motherfuckers alone.
That's just kidnapping.
Yeah.
They drove 3 trucks loaded with firearms towards Canada, avoiding U.S. Highway 101 because they feared taking firearms over the U.S.-Canada border. And the group instead traveled to the hills of Montana, where they wrote a long letter documenting their complaints.
Okay.
Former Temple member Jeannie Mills later wrote that Jones called 30 members to his home and forebodingly declared that in light of the mass defection, in order to keep our apostolic socialism, we will all kill ourselves, and leave a note saying that because of the harassment, a socialist group cannot exist at this time.
Okay. That escalated so fast.
Really, really escalated fast.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously became furious. He was waving a pistol at, you know, these individuals, referring to the Gang of Eight as
I believe in you.
Trotskite?
I don't know what that means. Is that a slang term?
Trotskite defectors?
How's it spelled? I'm going to Google it.
Trot. S-K-Y-I-T-E. Trotskite?
So hold on. S-K-Y-I-T-E. I need to know.
Trotskite.
A supporter of the political or economic principles of Leon Trotsky.
Oh.
That's so fucking stupid. Get a different name, bro.
That's just fucking too hard to say.
Okay, so he a slander. He slandered.
Well, he also called them Coca-Cola revolutionaries, so that's a little easier.
This whole time, you had that on standby on the back burner, and I'm over here like,
the Trotsky.
I love you so much.
While the temple did not execute the suicide plan, it did conduct fake suicide rituals in the years that followed. So that's concerning. When they moved to San Francisco, it permitted Jones to be more open with his true political and theological leanings. And by 1976, he openly admitted, even to outsiders, that he was an atheist.
Oh, okay. That went from Christianity to just kidding real fast.
Correct. Despite the temple's fear that the IRS was investigating its religious tax exemption, they admitted to the New York Times that in 1977, Marceline admitted that in 1977, her husband, taking inspiration from Mao Zedong,
of course,
you know, Mao Zedong, was trying to achieve social change by mobilizing people through religion. And she admitted that Jim used religion to try and get people out of the opiate of religion.
So he used religion to convince people that religion wasn't real.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's obviously it was working.
I guess.
Obviously he was trucking along.
With this move to San Francisco, the temple more strenuously emphasized that its members live communally, and it stressed physical discipline of children first and then adults.
Damn.
Okay. The San Francisco Temple also carefully vetted newcomers through an extensive observation process, and it distinguished itself from most religious movements with the overtly political messages. It combined those genuine political sympathies with the perception that it could help get large numbers of votes to gain the support of, like, numerous prominent politicians. And that after he moved to San Francisco, he made it very obvious that he was involved or interested in being involved in politics, and legal changes in the way San Francisco elections were held, which strengthened the power of the neighborhood groups and civic organizations such as the temple.
So now he can really start getting into the money of it and the meat of it. He can start influencing.
Political influence.
Yeah. And I mean, I always wondered how that was so easy, and it's a numbers game. He now has so many followers that he tells them in one sermon, do this, and they all go do it. And that's that. It's just like marketing.
Mm-hmm. After their voter mobilization efforts proved instrumental in state Senate President George Moscone's run for mayor in 1975, he actually appointed Jones as the chairman of the San Francisco Housing Authority Commission. And the temple received the support from California political figures such as Moscone, Governor Jerry Brown, Congressman Melvin DeMille, a lot of other people that no one really knows or gives a shit about as well.
Okay.
I'm just going to skip that.
Okay.
except you may be familiar with Harvey Milk.
Yeah.
Have you seen the movie?
Played him in a movie.
Mm-hmm. So I guess there was also some association with him as well, which is certainly concerning.
I always find it weird when that happens because I've like briefly seen the movie Harvey Milk, but then when I place it with another important thing in history and realize they coincide at the same time, that
it's
always
so weird.
Hurts my brain.
Yeah.
Like the fact that Cleopatra lived closer to our time period than the time when the pyramids were constructed.
That's weird.
That's, it hurts my head.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, for me, that...
Interesting.
Together.
Several politicians visited the temple numerous times and spoke publicly in support of Jones, even after investigations and suspicions of cult activity.
I mean, they're not going to care. He's padding those pockets, boy.
So, Jones and Moscone met privately with presidential nominee Jimmy Carter's then running mate, U.S. Senator Walter Mondale, in San Francisco days before the 1976 presidential election. And Jones also met First Lady Rosalynn Carter on multiple occasions, including at a private dinner, and corresponded with her in letters. Jimmy Carter's wife.
He's meeting with Jimmy Carter's running mate and Jimmy Carter's wife?
I guess. Used his position at the Housing Authority to lead the fight against the eviction of tenants from San Francisco's International Hotel.
See? And then he does something nice. It's so weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's almost like he is a psychopath who occasionally is like, oh no, I have to be a person real quick.
Let me throw on the skin.
Yeah, the meat suit.
The temporal... The... Speaking is hard.
Carrying on.
The temple further forged an alliance with San Francisco's black community newspaper, The Sun Reporter, publisher Dr. Carlton Goodlett, and it received frequent favorable mentions in that paper. And got a lot of coverage from San Francisco Chronicle columnist Herb Kane and other local newspapers and television reporters. So they were reporting.
Yeah, their outreach is getting pretty far and wide at this point.
The temple aroused police suspicion after Jones praised the Symbionese Liberation Army, a radical Bay Area group, and the SLA's leaders attended San Francisco temple meetings.
Got too big for the britches.
Further suspicions were raised after the defection of Joyce Shaw and the mysterious death soon after of her husband, Bob Houston. In 1974, a fire broke out at the People's Temple San Francisco location, and without evidence, Jones speculated that members of the Nation of Islam may have started the fire.
Great.
So he sent several of his followers to a nearby mosque to issue a warning. Great.
Can you just imagine your mosque?
Minding your own fucking business.
Worshipping. Being with your... I don't know how... I'll be honest. I've never been to a mosque. I don't know if it's a family affair like churches, but you're there.
Mm-hmm.
And then people just stroll on in. How dare you attack our, like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Weirdos.
So then obviously there was heightened tension between the People's Temple and the Nation of Islam.
And you know he knew full well that that wasn't even a thing he actually probably thought.
No, probably not.
He just wanted to spice it up.
But then he wanted to improve relations with the Nation of Islam by culminating a joint spiritual jubilee.
I've said this many times, but you keep hitting me with the whoop, there it is. What the fuck is a jubilee?
I don't know. It was a rally held at the Los Angeles Convention Center in May of 1976, and he used the event to garner positive publicity, and the joint rally was attended by many of his closest political acquaintances. At this rally, Jones called for peace and unity, saying, "If the People's Temple and the Nation of Islam can get together, anyone can." You're the one who started the fucking...
I guess so he could bring it back together. Like, one of those people, like, were first responders who hurt people so they can first respond.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what that's called, but that.
Yeah, it's fucked up. So he ended by pledging support to the Muslim community and declared his desire for Wallace Muhammad to run for president of the United States.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay.
Okay. Alrighty, Roo.
Maybe he should, but I don't know the guy. While the temple forged media alliances, the move to San Francisco also opened the group to media scrutiny. When Jones and hundreds of temple members moved to the Guyana settlement following media investigations, Mayor Moscone issued a press release stating that his office would not investigate the temple.
I mean, he doesn't want to cut ties with his deep pockets.
And during this time, Harvey Milk spoke at temple political rallies and wrote a letter to President Jimmy Carter after the investigation began, in which he accused Timothy Stoen, who by the point had defected from the temple and was attempting to extricate relatives from Guyana. And Harvey Milk said that he was just telling bold-faced lies.
But the worst part is, like, people are going to believe this because you're now already in bed with politicians that they do know and trust and believe. So,
not that you should ever trust or believe a politician of any side or any layer level, because they're all fucking dirty ass liars.
But this was a different time and people did, man. And that ball is already rolling down the hill and it's gravity is on their side.
Yeah. So, in 1974, the People's Temple signed a lease, again, to rent land in Guyana, South America. The community which was established in this piece of property was named the People's Temple Architectural Project. The People's Temple Agricultural Project. Or Jonestown.
And we're off, guys. We're off. Here we go.
It's fine.
First of all, he's got too many names.
It's too many names. Let's be
real. End of the day, you don't need to have a 17-word name.
You know, there's reason people call it Jonestown and the People's Temple and not the People's Temple Agricultural Project. Because you can't say it, as you can hear, for the 16 times I've said it and couldn't say it.
The People's Temple Architectural Produce. Let me center myself.
I'm upset. So he, Jones, saw Jonestown as both a socialist paradise and a sanctuary for media scrutiny. Former temple member Tim Carter, no relation, said that the temple moved to Jonestown because in 1974, what he saw in the United States was creeping fascism. It was apparent that corporations or... like the multinational corporations were getting much larger. Their influence was growing within the government, and the United States was in a racist place.
I mean, not incorrect.
No. So he said the temple concluded that Guyana was a place in a black country where our black members could live in peace.
That's not why you're there, but no. Again, the message is
correct. It's on the nose.
You're doing something.
It was a socialist government, and it was the only English-speaking country in South America.
Okay.
So, increasing media scrutiny based on the allegations by former members was putting pressure on Jones, especially after a 1977 article in New West Magazine, which just before publication, they telephoned Jones to read him the article, and they explained that they were only going to do so before publication because of all the support letters that we received on your behalf from the governor of California, Jerry Brown. Jerry!
Pays to know people. Name Jerry.
Jerry.
Jerry Brown.
While still on the phone listening to the allegations contained in the article, James wrote a note to the temple members in the room with him that said, "We leave tonight. Notify Guyana."
Notify the people.
Get done with that.
The leader of the People's Church of the Agricultural Project of Arkansas.
He's like, I'm listening. I'm listening. Leave now. Fucking go.
Y'all, I gotta tell you something right now. You guys need to try this. What's your name? Mandarin Gorilla. Because I am laughing my...
I mean, I'll smell it.
Yeah. Well, you can try it too, but it's... I need to repack it. So if you want to just...
Okay.
Or I can pack it in here for you while you carry on.
It's giving me. So he's writing secret notes while he's pretending to not gaslight these reporters. the population. After they left for Guyana, he encouraged the members to follow him, of course. And then it started with like only 50 people, and then it grew to about 900 people by 1978.
That's wild.
Everyone who moved there was promised a tropical paradise free from the supposed wickedness of the outside world. And when you watch, like, if you've ever seen the documentaries, there is video footage, not only from, like, early on in California, but from Guyana.
I saw parts.
It was probably the only thing left after they, well, I mean, everything was left other than their souls, but,
I saw part of, like, pieces of a documentary. I watched an episode on Oprah with the with what's his name's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a couple clips. It was actually pretty tropical and pretty, like, it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. They built like a nice area.
Yeah.
And you see like everyone, the seems happy in the footage. It's really creepy.
I mean, that's the thing. They probably were, which is what led them to ultimately follow his lead. They mm-hmm. probably were happy, but unfortunately, this is a very perfect parallel for what I always try to explain about sexual assault in mm-hmm. which the person thinks it's consensual, mm-hmm. but they're underage. Because mm-hmm. this happened to a friend of mine, mm-hmm. and she's been very open about it, so I know she'd be comfortable with me talking about this. Mm-hmm. If the person doesn't understand your motives, if they don't understand the truth, they are still being manipulated. And yeah. if that person is being manipulated underage or under duress or under any circumstance that is not perfect understanding, yeah. it is a manipulation.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have to do it if you weren't doing something inappropriate.
Correct.
Period.
Like 25-year-old guys that chill with high schoolers are
It's fucking disgusting. It's fucking foul.
Predators.
You're foul. Literally, but anyway, that's
and it's because no one their own age will love them because Correct. They're fucking creepy.
Also, my dog has been wiping his stomach on the floor.
Yeah, just he's just spreading out in different directions, and then are you done?
Stop. After this episode, his father will be home, and he will spread. Be downstairs.
So on November 17th, 1978, Representative Leo Ryan, who was investigating claims of abuse within the temple, visited Jonestown. During his visit, a number of temple members expressed a desire to leave with him. Oh. And on the 18th, some accompanied Ryan to the local airstrip at Port Ketuma. They were intercepted by temple security guards who opened fire on the group, killing Ryan, three journalists, and one of the defectors, as well as injuring nine others, including Ryan's aide, Jackie Spearer. A few seconds of gunfire from the incident were captured by the NBC cameraman, Bob Brown, Jesus. One of the journalists, killed in the attack. And though she was shot five times, including suffering a massive leg wound, Spearer, survived and won a seat in Congress in 2008, serving until she decided to run for re-election in 2022.
All right, pop off. Mm-hmm. Here, let me hand you this really quick.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. You're so Don't you guys mind, that's the clank of Le water pipe.
It's just necessary.
Sometimes you gotta get your friend on the same vibe as you. And maybe it's just me, but I find the vibe to be correct.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much for your service.
That tastes good.
It does taste good. And I feel like it creeps in and then hits pretty hard, which I appreciate.
Okay. Looking forward to it. I'm sick. Okay. So
that's gonna hurt.
I know that was real enjoyable for you to listen to, and we're back. Jones ordered his congregation to drink a concoction of cyanide laced grape flavored Flavor Aid.
Ew, not Flavor Aid.
I know, it's not even fucking like it's not Kool-Aid on brand.
It's still Flavor Aid. I don't think Kool-Aid came until later.
Yeah. In total, 918 people died, including 276 children.
I'll fight him.
The four that died at the temple headquarters that night in the Guyanese capital of Georgetown are included in those numbers. So some members resisted committing the voluntary revolutionary suicide and were actually injected with a fatal dose of the cyanide, as were infants.
Okay.
And others survived by fleeing through the jungle. That was how they, few people that survived did, in fact, get away.
So you can just take your chances in the fucking mm-hmm. South American jungle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Better than getting injected with cyanide.
Or your children getting injected with cyanide.
Yeah. And again, it was considered one of the greatest single losses of American civilian life until 2001, September 11, 2001, which is pretty nuts.
That's a real shame. That's a real shame. That's a lot of children.
I know. The San Francisco headquarters was then basically besieged by the national media and relatives of the victims. The mass killing became one of the best known events in U.S. history, and measured by the Gallup poll and appeared on the cover of several newspapers and magazines, including Time, for months afterwards. After the Jonestown suicide, surviving Temple members in the U.S. announced their fears of being targeted by a hit squad, which would be composed of Jonestown survivors.
Okay. That, so, like, it's not good enough. It's all over and you still have to...
worry.
Yeah.
And in 1979, the Associated Press reported a U.S. congressional aide's claims that there were 120 white brainwashed assassins out from Jonestown awaiting the trigger word to pick up their hit.
That's horrible and horrifying, because that they probably had to live in fear the rest of their freaking lives.
Yeah. Temple insider Michael Prokes, who had been ordered to deliver a suitcase which contained Temple funds, which were supposed to be transferred to the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, killed himself in March 1979, 4 months after the Jonestown incident.
Okay.
So, in the days leading up to his death, he sent several notes to people, together with a 30-page statement he had written about the temple. He reprinted one copy in his Chronicle column. He then arranged for a press conference in Modesto, California, in a motel room, during which he read a statement to the 8 reporters who attended.
How bizarre.
He then excused himself, entered the restroom of said motel room, and shot himself in the head.
So. There are so many professions in which people just don't get paid enough for the shit that happens to them. Mm-hmm. You're journaling away.
You're just journaling.
Probably by hand.
Just writing.
Fucking 79 or whatever.
You absolutely were writing.
And he's like... I just need to use the restroom.
Squeeze
like,
me.
La-di-da-da-da.
Let me structure up these notes.
And he looked at her. And she looked at him. And then all of a sudden,
just fucking
bibbidi-bobbidi-boo.
Blasted.
It's not funny. It's just uncomfortable.
It's horrifying.
And I just, now you got 8 more people that are fucked, that are going to make more children that are fucked. It's probably how I got here like this, and on Abilify and Trazodone and all the snackies.
Oh.
Literally, when people are like doing that trend on TikTok that's like girl dinner, mm-hmm. I just want to pour all of my fucking antipsychotic medications into a bowl.
Onto a bowl, yeah.
Be like, girl dinner. Okay, so he shot himself in the restroom. Got it.
Yeah, before the tragedy, Temple member Paula Adams engaged in a romantic relationship with Guyana's ambassador to the United States, Lawrence Bonnie Mann, and Adams later married him. On October 24th, 1983, he fatally shot both Adams and their child, and then shot himself.
I hate everyone. I just got the best news, and I just need to tell some other introvert that will appreciate this. I'm supposed to have plans this evening, and they just got canceled due to the weather.
Thank God.
It's literally, I almost, like, can't
That's blessed.
It. That is blessed, right?
Too blessed to be stressed.
Hashtag blessed. Okay, that's all I needed to say.
There's honestly nothing better.
Yes, that was a very important announcement, but we're going to get back to the episode. Thank you.
One of the defecting members, Harold Cordell, actually lost 20 family members the evening of the poisonings, and the Bogus family, which had also defected, lost their daughter 18, and another defector lost his son age 5.
My gosh.
No mention of a wife, so I'm interested to know why he would leave the kid behind alone. But who's to say?
Maybe he lost his kid and wife, but he didn't consider his wife a loss because she is the one who killed their child.
Perhaps.
That's what I'm going to go with, because this shit is twisted.
It is.
And so is my mind.
The mass suicide of the People's Temple pretty much helped embed the idea that all new religious movements are somewhat destructive in the public's mind. And Brian R. Wilson argues against the point of view by pointing out that only 4 other such events have occurred within similar religious groups, which includes the Branch Davidians, the Solar Temple, Heaven's Gate, and Aum Shinrikyo.
Didn't we cover Heaven's Gate before?
Yeah, Heaven's Gate is pretty crazy. I'm pretty sure.
I think
we I don't know if he did.
Maybe I just watched a documentary with you about it.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I feel like that's really...
They all, the way they all got dressed and then laid in the bed to go to space in their minds is so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually took a class in college called New Religious Movements where we studied Jonestown and like a bunch, Heaven's Gate, all of those.
That's actually really interesting to me.
And it's fucking nuts.
It is. I know. This was when I was researching and trying to decide like things I wanted to do. I was like really interested. I think I did Manson before because cultism really interests me. But I also am like a little bit scared to look it up because I joke about it a lot, but I do feel like leaning too far the wrong way, the way I grew up was like, it wasn't like culty in the way that you couldn't leave. Like nobody cared if you fucking left. It, not like that. But like, it was like on Wednesday nights, it was mandated that we went out, the teenagers, with our youth pastor, and we went to strangers' doors and knocked on the door and handed them tracts to come to church. That shit mortified me. That's why I have social anxiety.
Oh my God.
The amount of grown up slamming the door in my face as like a 10-year-old child.
I would die.
And then I kept thinking I was going to be abducted at any moment, like by a stranger at their door. Anyway, I'm getting carried away, but.
Concerning.
The point is, that shit is scary.
It is. But basically, by the end of 1978, the temple declared bankruptcy and its assets went into receivership. And in light of lawsuits, on December 4th, 1978, Charles Gary, the corporation's attorney, petitioned to dissolve the temple. The petition was granted in San Francisco Superior Court, January of 1979, and a few temple members remained in Guyana, through May 1979 in order to wrap up their affairs. What affairs? That's Everyone's dead.
Right? Like, maybe with, like, their financial stuff because they do still have things some there, money, I guess. I don't know.
Their buildings in Los Angeles, Indianapolis, and Redwood Valley are all intact, as is the former temple, the temple's former Georgetown headquarters. Some former temple buildings, such as the Los Angeles facility, are presently used by church congregations. And their former San Francisco headquarters, which is located at 1859 Geary Boulevard, was destroyed in 1989. In the 1989 Loma Prieta earthquake. And it has a post office on it now.
A post office?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cute.
But yeah, Jonestown was pretty crazy. I recommend people. There's like a couple good documentaries on it where you get to see the footage. But yeah, I mean, it's just like any fucking dude who needs to be the center of attention.
But they're so convincing. And they, and you know, whatever the vulnerability is that makes, you know, one more susceptible or not. For us, it was religion. It was fear of God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For them, it's a lot of racial motivation and fear for their just life and safety. And so for them, this was like something they were clinging to live.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you feel like that's all going to crumble, I can imagine that for a lot of them, it did feel very easy to make that decision because their life was being ripped away. It sucks. I think I'm going to put a, I'll put it at the end too, but we should do a clip in the front just since they talk about a lot of suicide. But if you do live in the United States, at least the suicide number or contact that you can use is 988. You can text or call 24 hours a day, and it is English and Spanish speaking available. So if you ever find yourself in that situation, know that you can always do that. Also, if you're a person who struggles with suicidal thoughts or ideations, you can Google phrases and talking points, and you can just click the text button, and it'll pull those talking points into a message that you can send to a trusted person, if you didn't know that. So nice. Feel free, if you ever unfortunately find yourself in those circumstances, using the resources that are available. That's all I have.
And not drinking Flavor-Aid with cyanide.
Absolutely do not drink Flavor-Aid, period, because it's probably cyanide without cyanide.
I know.
Right?
Probably.
That's probably why they switched it to Kool-Aid. They were like, not a good enough reason to use the word penetrate. We have to fucking go. Okay, bye.
Bye.